You're listening to Asheville FM at WSFM LP 103.3 Asheville. This is news team correspondent Andrew Rainey, and you're listening to the Asheville FM NewsHour. This week marks what's being celebrated as Hemp History Week. Hemp, a particular strain of the plant Cannabis sativa, has been grown and utilized by humans throughout the world for reportedly thousands of years for a number of uses, including the production of paper, textiles, clothing, biodegradable plastics, paint, insulation, biofuel, and food. More popular images of this plant revolve around strains which have a lower fiber yield and known for their tetrahydrocannabinol, or THC, a psychoactive drug extracted from the plant's buds. However, strains vary dramatically, and while strains with a THC content from 2% to over 20% is classified as marijuana, industrial hemp has less than 0.3 THC and is not able to be used as a psychoactive drug. While industrial hemp productions for paper and textiles have been a large business on southern plantations in the United States for much of its history, business changed with the enforcement of the Marijuana Tax Act of 1937 and narratives depicting the plant as extremely dangerous, such as the 1936 film Reefer Madness.
Marijuana, the burning weed with its roots in hell.
Commentators like Mitch Earlywine, Preston Pete, Lawrence French, and Magdaleno Manzanares have suggested the movements towards criminalization reflected a history of business conflicts between hemp producers and other production industries supported by business magnates Andrew Mellon, W.R. Hearst, and DuPont. In 1970, the Controlled Substance Act under Nixon classified all strains of cannabis, including non-psychoactive industrial hemp, as Schedule I drugs. With a long history of advocacy, it appears that business interests seem to be altering to make room for both industrial hemp and marijuana, as state by state, new laws have permitted research on industrial hemp, as in North Carolina, or the legalization of recreational marijuana in 9 states and medical use in 29 states. Although some commentators suggest profit motivation in the expansion of private prisons and the war on drugs as a possible challenge in complete legalization of marijuana, industrial hemp seems to be taking root in places like the Southeast, where only Arkansas and Florida have legalized medical use. According to the North Carolina Department of Agriculture, hemp production has been legalized in North Carolina, but only as part of the state's pilot program, as allowed under federal law. Kentucky Senator and Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell announced that he would introduce legislation legalizing hemp production in his state, Kentucky, as well as nationally, with the Hemp Farming Act of 2018.
As the tobacco industry has changed, some farmers in states like Kentucky have been searching for a new crop that can support their families and grow our agricultural economy. And many believe they've found such a product, industrial hemp.
A proposed law to remove hemp, defined as cannabis with less than 0.3% THC, from Schedule I controlled substances and making it an ordinary agricultural commodity. In 2014, Asheville City Council recognized Hemp History Week, particularly noting local businesses and exploits using industrial hemp, although generally grown in Canada.
For those of you that don't know, Gwen and other city council members have accepted a Hemp History Week proclamation for 3 or 4 years now. So our city has been in support with what we're doing, our companies, our entrepreneurs in this area. So we thank you, Gwen, from the city of Asheville. Yeah. Mall.
This week, in celebration of Hemp History Week, I was able to attend a press panel at Franny's Farm in Leicester, North Carolina, on Tuesday, June 5th, where hemp farmers and supporters came together to talk about industrial hemp and demonstrate products as well as agricultural experiments. Here's Senior Communications Manager Lauren Stansbury of PR firm Movement Media, who I spoke with briefly at the Hemp History Week event at Franny's Farm.
My name is Lauren Stansbury. I'm the Director of Communications for the Hemp Industries Association. And it's Hemp History Week, and we're celebrating the launch of this nationwide campaign today. Hemp History Week is a time in June for hemp farmers and activists and organizers to get together and just create opportunities to reach out to communities and get people educated about industrial hemp, what it is, get people exposed to different hemp products, get people interested in hemp farming, and hopefully get people interested in lobbying at the state, local, and federal level to pass hemp farming legislation. So Hemp History Week has an awesome supportive base of grassroots organizers in North Carolina. As some people may know, the first hemp house built in the United States was built here in North Carolina. Asheville has for many years now declared Hemp History Week a city holiday, and today the deputy mayor will be making that proclamation as well. So North Carolina has been just such a great state for us to really establish strong roots in the hemp farming movement.
The event offered a press panel where four speakers introduced themselves and answered questions.
Who will be coming and speaking?
So Franny Tacey, our featured farmer for the Hemp History Week campaign, will be speaking today. We have Colleen Cahey Lanier, who's the executive director of the Hemp Industries Association. We have Eric Steenstra here from Vote Hemp. Vote Hemp is the national lobbying arm for hemp farming legislation based out of D.C.
And Kentucky hemp farmer Mike Lewis. Here's Executive Director Colleen Lanier of Hemp Industries Association.
Every year we choose an organization or a spokesperson to partner with in having a kickoff event for Hemp History Week. And so we're really excited to bring that spotlight to North Carolina. And people ask, why North Carolina? Well, because this was an interesting state legally where they require funding for the program right out the gate. And that made things a little different where other states didn't quite go at it that aggressively, but also because that meant that they made sure that they were going to have resources available to start the program. And that's important. It's important for these states to know that they're going to need that support and the Department of Ag is going to need that support. And also because North Carolina has the opportunity to do transatlantic partnerships. And that's exciting. When we start talking about what can states do that have coastal regions where we can start talking about getting those commodities back and forth, we want to get a critical mass here in the United States, but it's really important that we have states like North Carolina who are mean business and have a lot of hemp farmers ready to grow and make that happen. Every year, for 9 years now, there's been this moment in the year where we push hemp as hard as we can push it, and that it goes out and people see it in the market more than they've ever seen it. And the sales go up, people buy it, they're buying the products, and that makes an impact. That's voting with your dollars. We need them to really vote. But we also really want people to know that there's an option of a good, nutritious commodity that is sustainable, that can grow in this country. And I think we've proven it. And 4 years ago, it was like, okay, let's have a research provision in the farm bill. Let's see if this can happen in the United States. If it's viable, if there's a market, well, it's viable and there's a market. So we're really excited to see this move forward, and we want to see the Hemp Farming Act passed. We want to help support the 42 states who are now online with some type of legislation. We really want to have more companies help support the Hemp Industries Association so that we can do the work that we need to do. We've got to address some challenges and make sure that we have the resources to support those going forward. And it's going to take all of us, and it's going to take the companies who are capitalizing off of the momentum and off of the good work that everybody's doing to help put the resources there so that we can get it done. So I'm just really proud to be a part of the Hemp Industries Association and serve as the executive director and be in partnership with other organizations to make sure that we are getting the message out and we are touching people and letting them know about what hemp is, what it's not, and what it can be. And I think we're getting to that moment where we don't talk about Hemp History Week so much, but that it's hemp's future, and that it's Happy Hemp Week, and that we can move in that direction. And I think we're almost there, everybody. So thank you.
Eric Steenstra of Vote Hemp in Virginia described difficulties for legal hemp operations in the U.S. and the hope that the Hemp Farming Act might create more opportunity.
Colleen mentioned the Hemp Farming Act, and that's where, you know, where I really want to focus on. We're at a key time, and the momentum is really building, and we've got the wind at our backs. Senator McConnell introduced a new piece of legislation in April called the Hemp Farming Act. It's going to take us from where we are right now. You know, here in North Carolina, a lot of good things are happening under these pilot programs, but we still have restrictions, and farmers and businesses are facing a lot of challenges. I've been working with a farmer, for example, in Montana, who planted hemp and then was denied access to water by the Bureau of Reclamation because they told her that her hemp crop was not legal. Even though she was licensed under the state program from the Department of Agriculture and had done everything properly, and we had to, you know, fight with her to get access to that water, and I was pleased that it was successful. But farmers around the country are facing some of these challenges. Not only that, but businesses are facing challenges with access to capital. Banks are refusing to do business. Your Facebook ad gets turned off. You know, just all sorts of challenges because hemp's legitimacy is not being properly acknowledged. These products, these are all legal products. There's no reason that these banks should be doing this, but there's been, the water's been muddied due to misinformation coming from the DEA and other federal government sources and created this sort of confusion, and that's not good for the industry. So we really need this Hemp Farming Act, and the new bill that Senator McConnell introduced is going to address a lot of those issues. And it will take us from where we are with pilot programs and research to a full commercial cultivation of the crop. It will move the authority from the DEA, where it doesn't belong, they're not an agriculture organization, to the USDA. And then the USDA will be able to just approve programs at the state level. So it really gives us control. So North Carolina can have its program. And maybe it's a little unique and different than, you know, that meets the needs of the farmers and the businesses here in the state. We're helping to organize a lobby day this Thursday.
That Thursday is today.
We have dozens of people coming to Washington. They're going to be meeting with some of the members and staff up there. We're really excited about that engagement. We actually have a tool on our website at votehemp.com where you can take a pre-written letter, customize it, and send it in to your representatives. Give them your perspective. In any case, I'm going to go ahead and hand it off to Mike Lewis here.
Really quickly, I'd like to say that I'm afforded the opportunity of now making a living on my farm from industrial hemp. In 2012, I had started a nonprofit centered around food security, trying to reimagine how food sovereignty works in rural America. I live in a rural farming community that's classified as a food desert, and so that's what took me to industrial hemp. And I was going back through some of my notes this morning, and I wanted to point out on the gloom and doom side, before I leave you with a Jolly Rancher, we live in this really rapidly changing world, and I could list all kinds of things that have happened just in my lifetime, but as a brief example, I was born in 1974, and we had 200 million Americans being fed by a little over 2.5 million farmers. Today, we have over 300 million Americans being fed by less than a million American farmers. And what we're seeing happen is the continued consolidation of our food system. And what got me excited about hemp was seeing how the non-infrastructure could decentralize some of that and put some of the power back in rural communities and back on small farms and small communities just like this. 90% of our food in this country is grown by 3% of the farms. One company grows 85% of the organic tomatoes sold in the U.S. market. Our food security is tremendous. The crippling debt cycle that we created for agriculture's this year, farmers surpass veterans in the highest risk for suicide. More farmers are committing suicide every day in this country right now than veterans. And that's because of agriculture, and that's because of how society and culture views farmers. And it's groups like this and it's events like this that give that power back to us and give farmers like Franny and I a chance to have our voice and to use our voice and to say, give us the freedom to farm. Let us do what's right. Let us know our land. And let us know our land.
And here's farmer Franny Harris Tacy, the host of the event this year, and a new hemp farmer herself.
So I gotta thank Mike Lewis here too. He was my mentor last year, and last year was the first year we could plant in North Carolina legally. So we were way under the gun. By the time it all got past where we could grow, to get permits, to source the seed, we planted way late. And we grew a Futura 75 variety for fiber. And so it was a very, very different grow. We're part of this NC State research project. And when we did fiber, we did all this by hand. So what we did is use a plow to plow the fields. We did it very minimally. We wanted to use like baseline because a real passion is rural communities. I believe we can reinvigorate rural communities and this can be a small farm crop. So we were like, what's it going to do? No irrigation, fertilization. Let's plant it and watch it grow. Let's plant it a month late and watch it grow. So for the fiber varieties, we want it to be tall and narrow, no lateral branching. We got that. We did. It was probably 18 inches, a foot to 18 inches less in height than we would have expected. We learned a lot of interesting things just by watching the growth and watching the weather.
Also present at the event was Janine Davis of North Carolina State's research program, just north of Asheville. North Carolina State University has a webpage regarding industrial hemp and some frequently asked questions for growing hemp in North Carolina, and information regarding applications and licenses.
Currently, industrial hemp is conflated with other forms of cannabis in the Controlled Substances Act. Hemp is a Schedule 1 drug, according to the Controlled Substances Act, which technically makes it, according to the U.S. government, more dangerous than cocaine or methamphetamines. Obviously, we need to change that, and so that's part of what we're trying to accomplish today, is educate more around the issue and hopefully build up a strong movement and just catalyze that advocacy, because I really do believe that progress and change begins with all of us just being active participants in society. The world you want to see tomorrow, you have to start planting the seeds for today. So today we'll be planting some hemp on Franny's farm, and hopefully those roots go deep and really just stick with people's minds and why we're here today.
Members of the press were invited to ask questions to the panel. Questions focused largely on the difficulty of introducing cannabis into communities where it holds stigma, the potential of conventional agriculture introducing it as a monoculture, and the differences between hemp and marijuana. To hear questions posed by Asheville FM representatives and other Western North Carolina press, you can visit the Asheville FM website at www.ashevillefm.org and find the blog post about Hemp History Week. For more information about Hemp History Week or Franny's Farm, you can look up HempHistoryWeek.com and FrannysFarm.com.